This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, morning. I'll leave out the good. And welcome to Free Left Turn, a show with a left-wing perspective on Free FM 89.0. To my right, but on the left, I should say, Fred.
Good morning. Morning.
In front of me, Mick.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah,
and Craig. Yeah. Okay.
Top of the morning.
Top of the morning, yes, which is top of this rain.
Really?
And a victory. A victory for the semi-left. Zohan Mamdani.
Mamdani.
New York. Won the Democratic nomination for mayoralty.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's really huge. And what's sort of interesting is that they're labelling him as a Trump's coming out and said he's a communist lunatic and all this. All he is basically, he's not advocating to change capitalism or anything. All he's saying is, well, we need to use some of our capitalism to have some social services.
He's not seeking to bring the government
down. So that's just a moderate Labour Party sort of...
And that's... Can't do that.
Can't do that. Mm. So, but it's huge. It's sent shockwaves in America. There's and the racism that's coming up because his ethnicity is from India, but he was born. The parents were in Africa, and then they moved to New York
Uganda.
When he was
born in Uganda.
Yeah, but they were Indian. Yeah. One of the Indian ethnicities, the heaps in India. Mm. But my goodness, he's certainly got the goods as far as able to talk, and I watched him on an interview, and they always trying to trap him about Israel and everything else, and how can you afford to give free buses? Instead of being defensive or being blurry, he goes, well, let's go through it. This is how, you know, he's actually done his homework, or his helpers have done their homework, but just the way he talks, he diffuses that attack, not into a defensive attack back.
I mean, even Al Jazeera questioned his background because he comes from parents with money.
Oh, he's privileged.
Privileged background. So kind of questioned it, but then backed off again.
Yeah, but I'm glad they did question it because we've got to remember in history, Che Guevara,
yep.
He came from, both his parents were doctors.
Educated.
There's a lot of people, just because you're privileged, and what privileged people should be, they should be actually, in my perspective, they should be more socialist because they do understand that they do have privilege.
Mm.
They have time to actually observe the world and aren't affected by the day-to-day grind. So there's been a lot of people that are privileged that have ended up who are socialist in mind.
Marx is one.
Engels
in particular was one.
Imagine if you, you know, there's probably, I didn't write it down, but if you looked up how many political leaders came from what I call middle class families at least, it'd be quite high.
He's not looking to bring the government down. Just looking at how about make the system a little fairer for those less well off.
Social change.
That's seen as a threat to the elites.
Oh, they're squealing. And of course,
the same thing's going to happen here and happen in London, in the UK. It's not new.
Well, they're screaming. And of course, the Israeli lobby and the Zionist support and the evangelicals are just squealing because he stood up and said, well, yeah, I do support Israel, but as long as they have equal human rights for all. But he doesn't believe that one race, one religion should have dominance over another in supremacy viewpoints. And that normally would be the end of time because New York is a heavily pro-Israeli town traditionally. But what's been changing is the young aren't buying into the Israel story anymore.
Good.
And he's still got outvoted in a lot of those, what you'd call heavily
in the Bronx.
And the eastern suburbs or something. Heavily wealthy Jewish areas, etc. He's still got the votes.
Mm.
But he's got into the young people and what I call the more educated are actually going, hang on a minute, he's got a point here. They're going to swing the kitchen sink at him, throw the kitchen sink at him, and this is just the primary. So the actual election for mayor is in November.
Heating up, the vitriol will go up and up and up.
But traditionally New York is a Democratic town, so that's why it's so huge. It's like normally...
But even the Democrats themselves can't bring themselves to...
Some of the Democrats can't... They're so beholden to, A, Israel, and, B, to the status quo, yeah. They can't see, well, how can we actually... What help free buses? How can we possibly calm the system? They just can't go there. So it's an upset for the inside the Democratic machine too.
Yeah, serve them right.
Yeah, it does serve them right. They have done nothing to enhance themselves with what you call the ordinary people at all.
Yeah, because they tend to be the ones when you question, when you see comments that float around online, that the Democrats are held in worse regard than the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. You know, Trump, they didn't do anything to help themselves.
No, they made it actually worse.
And what you've got to give Mum Darnie, and I'm sure he's got a team around, but what they've done is they haven't just said, well, Trump's bad, we're good, or... Republicans are bad, we're good. He said, well, this is what we need to do. He's offered some hope. And whether he can deliver on it...
I don't think he's wasted any time attacking Trump, is he?
Not really. He'll refute him if...
Or his political... He's just focused on the issues.
Well, look, Trump's just called him a lunatic communist. And they said, what do you think of that? And he said, oh, he's going to do far more worse than that, for saying it to me, but I can handle it,
I'm looking at the issues.
Yeah, I'll be looking after the New York people. You know?
And he included the Jewish population.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's very good at replying. He doesn't go into... He doesn't go nasty.
He doesn't go buy into the
And he doesn't bend over either. He just says, no, this is what I think.
Watch this space. It'd be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah, so I hope nothing bad happens. Mm. But, he's up against a big machine. Nasty. You've got the status quo, you've got the Israeli lobby.
Money.
The whole lot. This is because in America, of course, socialists, I think it's starting to come down, but it's still generally, if you have the word socialist in anything, it's a dirty word.
Oh, yes.
It's just something you go.
Committing social suicide. Yeah,
and this guy has said, I'm a democratic socialist. In other words, I looked it up. A democratic socialist just basically believes capitalism is the four, but it has generous social programs, i.e. housing, health, childcare, public transport, etc.
Mm-hmm. Is that
wrong?
Not in my books.
Current
political climate, when countries are now increasing their military spending, those social programs would be coming under threat.
So what he's basically doing is rather than just saying, well, vote for me, it's time for a change, because that's the standard one. We get it in New Zealand. We get it everywhere. Just vote for us. It's time for a change. But they don't want to change anything.
No.
That's the reality.
Smoking mirrors.
Change in who you're going to look at on TV. But there's no real change. Whereas he's saying, well, actually, I'm giving some alternatives. And so the alternative is not more of the same. So he's actually, I think he's throwing out, what is a big thing he's throwing out is that, is hope. Mm-hmm. And whether how much he'll be able to deliver, because he's up against a huge machine, he's got to get voted as mayor in the first place, and they will throw everything. If they threw $30 million against him behind Cuomo to try and stop him getting the nominee for Democrats.
Well, you think the people who are most affected by what's going on would swing behind Mandana, because increasingly people in New York are being forced out.
We got
cost of living, cost of rents and accommodation. Mm-hmm. They're being pushed out.
They say Cuomo got $30 million towards his campaign to be the nominee.
Yeah.
Cuomo, they didn't say what Mamdani got, but he said, we didn't get a lot, but what we got was 50,000 volunteers.
Get the word out.
Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Get the word out, yeah.
And the thing is, he's young. He's not a tired old politician with all this baggage. You know, in 20 years' time, it might be different. But at present, he hasn't got a big lot of baggage behind him. Cuomo got in trouble with COVID and the nursing home.
And Hanky Panky in the office.
And inappropriate stuff with female staffers, etc.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of baggage. And just the Cuomo name. People get tired of the same old name. It was like Muldoon. It was like they get sick of the same old name, the same dynasty, the Clintons. Hillary, she was doomed, even though she wasn't a very good candidate, she was still doomed before she started because it was still a dynasty that people go, nah.
That Lewinsky name still floats around.
Yeah. And just on my last point on it, which I want you guys' opinion on, isn't it interesting that the squeal in America is huge, and in Israel, and in certain quarters that... but isn't it interesting that the same thing happened here with Jacinda Ardern? What do they used to call her? A communist. They still do. You still hear that all the time.
Well, that's worse than that.
And awful stuff. And they're calling awful stuff about Mamdani too, don't get me wrong. There's lots of racism, lots of Islamophobia, lots of all that stuff. But isn't it interesting? It seems to be a go-to on the... on in some areas in the far right and in the mainstream, that anyone that who's got a bit of a threat,
contrary print opinion,
you start calling them a communist. Well, Jacinda Ardern was nowhere near a communist.
No,
she's a moderate Labour person, but the same thing, believed in a few social programs. So
there's an awful lot of ignorance out there.
Of course there is, and it's played
usually from the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Just summing up, it's a big victory for the left. It's a big victory for the Free Palestine movement.
Well, you mentioned that he was in a press or open questions.
Yeah,
and he was asked. The others were, which country would you want to go and visit first of all if you get elected? And all of them, apart from Mandani, Israel.
Yeah, they all.
And
been,
he just said. Well, no, I'm going to stay here and look after my constituents.
Yeah, I'll talk to Jews in New York.
And he said that if,
why would I go to Israel, basically?
If Netanyahu turns up, he would execute the warrant.
Yeah.
And you said that Senator Warren, wouldn't go there.
Yeah, was asked in an interview yesterday, did she support...
Well, it's an answer in itself. The fact she didn't answer is an answer.
That says a lot.
So it's a credit to him that he hasn't tried to hide from it.
No. He seems fairly level-headed.
He doesn't
seem to get fazed by...
Well, he's well-educated, let's face it.
He has the confidence to put up with all the vitriol and all the stupid, moronic questions that get flung at him.
His parents, his mother is quite a... had put out a couple of big hits in the cinema, etc.
Oh, right.
Mississippi Masala, all going back a few years now.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's a film director or has been a film director. I don't know if she's retired or not. Mm-hmm. And his dad is a major academic. So, there's plenty of pedigree in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, certainly privileged, but he doesn't hide from his privilege. He's used his privilege.
Not like Rishi Sunak.
Yeah.
I still remember that interview.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't say it.
Okay. It's just wishy-washy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, watch the space. This is big in America. This is shockwave stuff, and in Israel. This is, as I say, the Jewish influence in New York has always been huge, 10% of the population, but they've had big influence. A lot of it through, they've been there a long time, and wealth, etc. Wealth creates influence. And we saw it by that, what you're talking about, at that interview with all the potential candidates, they all would visit, bend the knee to Israel.
Yeah.
So that just shows you how much influence.
And how sycophantic they are.
Yeah, even though they're only 10-12% of the population.
Hence my sycophantic Olympics name for...
The only thing that
one. It's just vomitors. I listen to the radio most of the day, and after a while I'm just thinking... I can't listen to these people anymore. They're just talking through their backside.
Yeah. The disquiet for me, and there was a little bit of disquiet, is Mamdani didn't do very well with African-Americans.
Oh, the Bronx.
His main vote came from younger voters, educated middle-class voters around the city, but he didn't win the African-American vote.
I can imagine he would just turn around and say, well, that's what the people want, that's the way it goes. I just need to work harder, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think he's very, very skilled.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, Bernie Sanders was doing, really well in the last election in the primary, not the last one because we wouldn't have a primary, the Democrats are that far out of touch. But the previous one, he was doing really well, went into those southern states where there's a big African-American vote. Jim Claymore, whatever his name is, came out and said, no, we're sticking with Biden. And that crushed.
Yeah.
Bernie, he didn't win anything in that area.
Yeah. So. I bet they regret it now.
Because you would think this is a progressive...
But those people who are backed by him, you'd now think, well, we've got it wrong that time, we need to change. No.
This is New York.
They're like this, Mick.
I'm
only guessing, but who would have the worst statistics for poverty in New York?
It'd be African American.
That would be down there.
And other
ethnicities. So what he's offering would be in their benefit.
Hope.
But they say, A, they didn't vote, and B, they're still stuck to chemo in large ways.
Because Bronx was traditionally a poor area.
Yeah.
Not so much nowadays.
Five boroughs. But anyway, that's big news. That's big news, and it will make big talking points for the next 5-6 months.
And I think,
talking about Trump, the Democrats never offered anything. If the Democrats can get over their own status quo, pro-Israel mentality, etc., and just do it, what Mamdani's offering, forget the Israel thing, he's offering an alternative. We can do something different.
Mamdani used the internet.
Yeah, that was social media,
That was the difference between the two campaigns, the two main. Mamdani was using, well, as volunteers, he was using the internet.
To reach out to people,
But isn't the smear's been awful? All things about Arabs and jihad and you know all this. It's just been awful. So, but anyway, he's a live wire and he's very articulate.
Looks like he dresses very well.
So, and sorry, girls, he's just married. So you know.
So that's one. But you Mick made a comment about the sycophants Olympics. Well, there was a few of them around.
Yeah, Ruta from the Secretary General.
Oh, this is about NATO. Trump and his visit to NATO.
It's just their response to Trump having saved the world because they've taken out Iran, and Metz, the German Chancellor, was just as sycophantic. And I couldn't listen to news for most of yesterday because it was just vomit inducing.
Yeah,
it was just unbelievable. The main thing: who can be the most sycophantic and crawl up somewhere?
But he's got what he wanted, Trump. He's got them to spend 5% on defence, and we're spending more on defence.
So what's going to come at the cost of that? Social programmes.
But what's interesting is, you know, if the Iran go into Israel and Iran attack, is, you know, the spiel we got from the Western media and the leadership is, well, you know, they did it, even though some of the West had a bit of disquiet about them attacking first, they let it go because it...
Because they were Israel and
if it had been the other way around and Iran had attacked
Israel and the West had been arguing that Iran was just around the corner from getting the bomb for the last 20 years.
And more probably, Mick.
But that seemed to have escaped the attention of the media. It didn't pick up on that.
Well, they don't want
to
go there. But what I find is the whole thing's tragic and it's awful and it's hypocrisy, etc. But what is this? They murdered leaders. They murdered leaders of the military and scientists and their families. And they hadn't declared war or anything. They just went and killed them.
Yeah.
Now, the scientist is just... He might work for the nuclear facility, but does that give you the right to murder them and his family?
And if the Iranians had attacked America or Israel and taken out their military leaders and their scientists, there'd be a human
crime. Two Jewish scientists got taken out in their apartment, in their beds, asleep with their family.
It'd be banner headlines all over the world.
So that's the hypocrisy. Yeah. But I call that murder. I don't call that war because you haven't declared it. You've just murdered.
Yeah, well, they did it in Lebanon too.
Look at the charger thing and other. They just killed the leader. They just bombed the leader. Figured out where he was and put in a bunker buster and got the leader. You know, and that's okay.
It's not okay. But they did it in Tehran before, didn't they? When they killed...
The military man. Soleimani. They did it in Baghdad. In Iraq. See, that's not even their country. They did it in Iraq. You know?
It's an act of aggression. That's what they call it. That's a description of it.
So much for this, we're saving a war, we're going to blow up the nuclear thing. All you're doing is creating hate and derision. In the end, more and more people think, hang on a minute, who's the bad guys here?
Yeah, because what I'm fearing, and I said this about, you know, 9/11, that didn't happen in isolation. It happened for a reason. Like when they attempted to bomb the Twin Towers in the 90s, it didn't happen in isolation. There was a reason behind that.
Usually around American foreign policy.
So what I'm waiting for...
Exactly, well put, mate. Yeah.
What I'm waiting for is a déjà vu.
It seems to be a constant déjà vu.
Well,
the same thing
like this one.
It just keeps going on and on.
But isn't it, and I heard it said, the squeal is sort of, is that there'll be lone wolf attacks.
If
a lone wolf attack is done by a Muslim or a brown person, but look at there was a dreadful bombing in America a guy, and he was an ex-army vet.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but he was a so-called Christian and everything else. But, you know, there's a different, seems to be, if they're brown and that's a big issue, and if they're white, we'll just hide that.
It seems to be different treatment.
Yeah, and different way the media portrays it. So, yeah, but anyway, Yeah, shame on America and Israel, really. You know, who's causing all the problems in the world?
They always keep describing Iran as a rogue nation. I think Israel and America are actually rogue nations, although they carry on.
They're worse.
And the Western bloc in the European Union, they're rogue.
They're worse.
Well, they're going against the population's desire, saying we want peace, we don't want war, we want...
Yeah.
And the leaders seem to be just ignoring them.
And I remember, just to finish off on that one, is Anthony Bourdain, and unfortunately committed suicide, but he was a chef and a bit of a celebrity.
And he said he
went to Iran and he said, oh my goodness, these were, you know, he'd heard all these stories and he thought they were just wonderful people.
I think Joanna Lumley went through there too.
And thought the same. You know, and we've been trained that the Iranians are bad.
Evil, vicious people.
They've got an
authoritarian regime, theocracy.
But
you can change a theocracy through mechanisms of whatever, through bombing them to the Stone Age.
Well, no, you're just pushing the population back into the arms of the theocracy.
That's exactly what they're doing.
They talk about Israel being a democracy and representing all this. How many women and children of Israel murdered this year? How many did they murder last year?
For the last 70-odd years.
Yeah, how many, you know, how much, you know. Well, so
yeah, because what happened,
that's so-called democracy.
It wasn't an isolated case. Like, again, it's part of the history, part of a pattern of...
Yeah, and how many people has the Iran regime killed, you know?
External to their country,
So, you know, it's pretty sad going.
And I hope eventually
Israel sorts itself out and sees the light. And America, and maybe people like Mamdani will help expedite that, you know?
Well, I hope so, but I've got a feeling that before the change happens in Israel, those zealots will clamp their hold on the country even harder. You'll have to prize their hands off the
I think.
I think the other part is the US and their funding of the state.
It could have been stopped
months ago. Years ago.
Meanwhile, starving people still queuing up for food.
Being shot.
And they know it's deliberate. You know.
And there's no outcry. No.
There's bits and pieces, but not for
the people who could actually do something about it.
Killed by probably weapons that have been made somewhere else.
America.
Western Europe.
But even that language, see, they go killed. Well, actually, if you shoot someone, if a soldier's ordered to shoot someone in a queue that's lining up for food, is that killing or is it murder?
It's murder.
Killing is when you're killed in a car accident. You're killed, a soldier's
killed
in
an exchange of fire between a similar armed
targeted shot to a baby's head.
A defenseless target. That's murder.
In any
country. And I'm sure it can happen the other way, but so it's just awful. And even like New Zealand, we're far away, but just our silence, our general silence. We make murmurs, but the Israeli ambassador is still sitting quite happily in his house in Wellington, I imagine.
Yes.
Well, he's ticky touring around Europe at the moment, isn't he?
Is he?
There's a photograph of him shaking hands with Zelensky, and
Is this the Israeli ambassador?
No, this is Luxon.
That's Sigafan.
That's the club.
That's what's the
Sigafan. Anyway, hope for peace. We hope. I don't know how the Palestinian people will get over this, because you imagine the psychological. Yeah, you know, all their families have been decimated and touched.
I'm convinced that the Israelis want them gone by hook, line, or sinker. By any means, drive them out, kill them.
Yeah.
I think anything.
Yeah.
They haven't got any qualms about doing it.
And there's a few that are are saying this is wrong,
yeah,
but
yeah.
they are very much in the minority.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people say, oh, Zionist Israelis. Well, actually, the soldier doesn't have a Zionist badge on his
Israeli.
Thing. It's an Israeli. The Air Force pilot, it's an Israeli badge. It's not a Zionist badge, you know. And it's like here in our army, we have people that, if New Zealand Army was called to fight somewhere, there would be people who vote National, people who vote for Labour, there'd be people who vote Green, New Zealand First, whatever. But they still fight for the New Zealand Army.
Mm.
And whatever their religions are, they still fight for the New Zealand Army. And that's what I'm getting about Israel. Forget whether they're Zionists or not, it's still done under Israel's name.
Does it, New Zealand military put, is it just a New Zealand flag on that arm, or does it have IDF, New Zealand Defence Force underneath it?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I think they had a Kiwi. I think they've got a Kiwi emblem.
That's what I don't know.
Just wondered, eh?
Don't know much about it.
Usually, it's always an oxymoron, defence in the name of a title, you know, of a military defence.
I always find it when, this is defence as they attack. You know? It's like we've attacked Iran to defend ourselves. Okay.
Well, it's an act of war, to be frank.
Anyway,
the Japanese did it on Pearl Harbor. So, it's an act of war. Interesting point that you raised about. And it comes back to my first point, is the passing of Takatai Kemp. There will be a by-election that will result out of that. And I was trying to kind of think of who was the last person to die in office as an MP, as a constituent MP.
I had to
scratch my head, but it was actually Parakura Horomia.
Oh, okay. Mm. What about the European girl? I think she was an ACT part. Did she die in office or did she leave and then die?
There's been a couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're only list MPs. I'm talking about actually constituent MPs.
Oh, constituent. Yeah, it'd be Horomia.
But when I had to go
through. What about Simon Bridges? Didn't he die and go off to Auckland to a bigger job?
There was an interesting. I was looking at going through the list of MPs who had died as constituent MPs in office. And I went to. There was actually four MPs. Serving MPs in the war, who died in the war.
Okay, as fighting soldiers.
As soldiers, yeah.
Okay.
Three National, one Labour.
Okay.
Interesting. So that's your point about soldiers and all, you know, soldiers fighting and who they represent. But actual MPs enlisted and fought and died.
And to say a lot of soldiers died from illnesses, actually even fighting.
But in this on context, but it's been interesting to see how this by election will go. To be frank, I know the passing was sad, and I know that there was a lot of words said in sort of like. Words said by Labour, by Greens and stuff like that.
And the Nats even.
Kindly given what had been happening to the Maori Party pre, some of those could be deemed to be platitudes almost.
Well, no one, you know, the old saying, don't speak ill of the dead. Tama Pōtaka and all, they all gave nice eulogies in the Parliament.
But she had been attacked in that last week. From the government benches.
Well, I don't think it was announced that she was dying, etc. She had kidney disease.
She got in by a very narrow margin.
Very narrow. There was a big, and there still was a controversy about that. She was involved. She was, Te Pāti Māori won the Manu, she was a organiser at the Manu Rewa Marae, South Auckland.
And there was a controversy about using the marae for political
votes
purposes.
And how much information was used out of the marae data, etc.
But I think they believe it got merged with the COVID take up.
And let's face it, that marae did a heap of work, and the organisers, including Takutai, did heaps for the people at that time, but it got murky and there was a big controversy.
And vitriol and everything else.
Yeah, and I think it hasn't finished yet. I think I read an article.
So it's still an official inquiry by the Serious Fraud Office.
Yeah, so I think it's at the Serious Fraud Office now. So whether this will change things and they'll put it to bed. But it just shows you, the perception. It's often perception is... is it above board or whatever.
That's when the spin doctors get going, because it's all about perception, control the narrative.
Mm.
But it's quite interesting. It was a scrap between Labour and Te Pāti Māori. It wasn't Tory versus the left.
We go, the left imploding again. And
And who's the guy that he spoke very well, lovely words, the guy Penny?
Penny Hennery.
Lovely words about Takutai and that, and yet they've had a real stoush over the election results. Mm. Yeah. So it'll be interesting what the result, what the by-election, because the Te Pāti Māori would have quite a few well-known figures to select from, I would think.
Well, yeah.
And I think Penny Hennery would go for it too, wouldn't he?
He's quite popular too. So,
given the closeness of the result,
he'll be
a watch your space stuff.
Aroha ki te kia ia.
Sad though. Yes.
Well, it's only 50. Only 50. But 1 in 10 New Zealanders have kidney disease, which is quite high, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly of Polynesian descent.
It's often it can be attributed to lifestyle, diet, and all that, and also genetics coming down.
Yeah.
Diabetes can lead on to kidney and all that sort of thing. I know when I'm on my gout pills, and I had to get a blood test for my kidneys before they'd put me on it.
So it could be anything like nephritis or Bright's disease or whatever.
I don't know much about kidney disease, but apparently you don't really notice it. It manifests late.
You don't have symptoms, it build up.
One thing I found very interesting is the likewise big sleep out. You know that?
Likewise big,
big sleep out.
It's to raise awareness and money for to help reduce homelessness.
Okay.
Right.
It was done prior to the COVID outbreak. So basically, it's a they just quoted as a night of discomfort to raise $500,000.
They're doing it around the country, or
no? They're doing it. AUT City Campus will host it on the 10th of July.
I suppose they're doing it in one place rather than tell people to go and actually lie on a street corner. Security reasons, I suppose.
I think you know Rob Campbell, the one who was given the old heave-ho because he said certain things about the government. He's tied up with the AUT. I don't know if he's the chief executive or not, but he was the one that offered the campus to do this.
Yeah,
and this is to raise awareness.
Raise money.
Raise money, but also empathy.
Ties in with this article about social housing bullet dodged. Flagstaff resident celebrates cancellation of Kainai Ora housing project due to opposition.
Okay.
So they got put to bed. So that's
212 state housing projects across the country cancel up to 3,500 new homes. And Kaya Ora Chief Executive Matt Crockett said the shell projects no longer stack up financially or are not in the right locations. Among them was the development of adjacent to Flagstaff Park, which had faced vocal opposition from locals. Local resident Robbie Pasley said he supported social housing in principle.
But not
just,
in his...
Just not in that location. We need to help people, absolutely. But I guess it's the, hey, not in my backyard.
Yeah.
I think
that's disgusting. So
the Kainai Ora CEO was saying, wasn't it, that his name was mentioned?
Yeah, Matt Crockett.
He was actually probably indulging in the sycophantic Olympics.
Oh, right, was
he? Yeah, kind of saying the right government.
Well, they have to. Let's face it.
They've got to try and
follow the government, don't they?
But there's going to be no builds after August, apparently.
So what are they going to do for these people that
were going to have housing? So people like this are going to get pushed further and further out of the city.
Well, they get out of the city, not in our area. Or pushed into the ghettos, into the lower socio-economic areas.
There'll be houses that won't be available for social housing for low-income people.
But they'll sell the land, probably on a wink, nudge.
That's all lined up.
Nice houses will go in there.
Because
you're talking about a loss of 3,500 new homes that would have gone for country housing.
That means they're not going to be doing any more social housing.
And the government won't tell us how many people are in this predicament because they won't release the figures. But the numbers are going up.
What happens here is that they're
moving. So isn't that, you know, the biggest tragedy of it all, in my view, is, okay, the whole idea of social housing was they were peppercorned.
And so you had people mixed.
So the mill worker's child mixed with the doctor's child. And went to the same schools together.
Yeah. And we're social cohesion.
That. Yeah, so they get to know each other, et cetera. Mm. By just putting all the poor brown kids and some white poor white kids in the same areas, and you put the rich white kids and the rich Asian kids in one other area, so how does that help cohesion down the track?
Well, it doesn't. You've got gated communities as opposed to ghettos.
Well, and then they have fear because you don't know. Look at Israel-Palestine. The Israelis don't know the Palestinians.
And you tool up the police because...
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and then the police will be sent to sort these guys, and then they'll say, "Oh, isn't it terrible? There's so much crime in that area," you know. Just social issues just expedite.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
So there's no effort, no vision to say, okay, how do we do this?
And the kinds of people who are featuring in this photo,
all the similar ilk.
Yes, they're male. Three Europeans, one Asian. We're not being disparaging here.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, let's say, same age.
Mm-hmm.
Probably all got a little bit of wealth behind them, I would say.
Yeah.
Not a fair representation.
Well, it's representative of that area.
Yeah, not a fair representation of the opposition, probably.
So the problem just hangs around. It just gets booted around.
Yeah, but NIMBYism has always been around. You know, it's like... You'd get told there's going to be a prison built to your house. Most people have a lot of disquiet or whatever initially.
The youth thing over at Hillcrest.
Yeah, that was that. There was lots of big issues there, and in the end, there wasn't an issue at all. You know, and then they closed they closed the facility anyway. So up on Mansfield Road. Yeah,
We don't want poor people living here.
Well, they guise it under all sorts of other reasons, you know. Mm. But yeah, that's basically it.
Well, they shove them out towards.
Might affect our property values.
Dinsdale. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. It's all about property, house property prices.
Well,
they don't want. Yeah. I think that same guy said, "Well, we want to be sure that it's safe to walk in our streets at night in case." He seems to forget that there's also white criminals as well.
Yeah, yeah.
This was the argument that former Invisible councillor Tooman put up against the one that was down off Kahikatea Drive, Jack's Landing.
Yeah.
That it would attract criminality.
Yeah.
That was the same sort of snobby argument.
Yeah, that's used a lot, to be fair. You know.
But we
don't want a virus coming into our areas. So, you know, I've heard that sort of
awful stuff. From an invisible councillor who you didn't see in the area, so,
Okay. So that's Kaingaora's project and...
Gone to being
scuppered.
Yeah. And the other one was something that I kind of picked up via stuff. Taxes will have. This is just how the headlining read. It was from the Radio New Zealand. Taxes will have to increase in 2060 to cope with aging population. Government spending.
Yeah, I looked it up too.
I think it caught my eye.
Reducing budgets for different government departments.
Yeah. IRD are warning that unless that the government spends its money on changes, taxes will need to increase in the coming years to cope with the ageing population.
Yeah, and I have to give a heads up to Chloe Swarbrick. She actually was the one that said, "Well, actually, we actually need to have the conversation, but how we go about changing our taxation system, not just we can't do that." We can't possibly have capital gains. We need to say, how do we pay for everything that New Zealand needs? Very mature response, I thought.
But then the response from the opposition or the government seems...
Oh, Nicola Willis, when she finished leaving the movie theatre with her kids. Yeah.
Tended to be in the same realm as Trump's response to anything.
Yeah.
Rather infantile.
We don't need that.
They're all right.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
Well, they are all right. Nicola Willis is fine. She doesn't affect her.
But the problem is going to get bigger.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of baby
And basically, the IRD paper, I believe, I haven't read it, but the implication on the article was you've got two choices, cut public spending or tax hikes. And guess, you know, And that's basically it.
Oh, she's poo-pooed that.
Nicola.
They'll cut spending.
But the RID were, because I think the Herald covered this as well, and it took a long time to get the information under the Official Information Act.
Mm. Yeah.
They sort of hung on to it, but they finally released the paper.
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
But, yes, so they gave us tax breaks last year. Some did better than others.
A lot, yeah. Rich people did,
And are these same people going to sort of chip in and keep the system going? I don't think so.
No, they'll be feathering their own nests.
Yeah, but essentially,
and we will end up being. Well, at the moment, they say that they won't have a go at the super annuitants, but that could change.
They'll be last off the rank just because
they will be last. But they're not off the. They're not. Yeah. We're not out of it yet.
No.
It could be considered as. So you're going to get retrenchment like they've got in Europe and the UK when people heating allowance will be scuppered or. All those other things that you take with
the winter energy payment could go.
Or assistance with prescriptions. Yeah. At the moment it's free, but that could change.
Yeah. A quarter of the population will be over 65 in 2050.
That's what they were saying.
I'll be one of them.
Well, how will I be alive? What's it now? No, I might even be alive.
Is it 2050, do you say?
Yeah.
If I survive that long, I'll be 97.
Oh, waiting for your telegram from the...
Charlie.
It'll be a king, but it'll be a younger king, won't it?
Maybe it might be old Willie.
I don't think Charlie will be alive, but how old is Charlie's...
Billy number five.
So, and it's interesting, from the other thing I gleaned is we get 88% of our government revenue from income tax and GST.
Yeah, paid by...
Paid not by all, of course.
No, paid by the middle class and down.
Those enough.
And I would love them to actually go through and say, all right, the farmers, the whatever, what's the average farmer paying tax?
To the state.
You try and Google it. It's really, really hard to find.
They would rather commit suicide than tell you.
Yeah, it's really hard to find what the average tax paid
is to the state.
By the dairy farming industry by the sheep farming.
And the state subsidises them.
Yeah, we don't see it. Yeah, so it's something that it's been talked about for
decades.
Who was the Labor guy who brought in got the report out of who pays tax in New Zealand? What was his name?
David Parker.
So this thing's around.
How much vitriol he copped? He copped a lot, trying to talk about it.
Yeah,
even from his own side.
Don't forget. Let's face it. There's an awful lot of people that they are privileged and. They might be in the Labor Party or anywhere else, but they still have have wealth and don't really want to go there.
You just have to harp on this, but the ageing population, this boom, was identified 50 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
We have to harp on it.
And
succeeding governments have been putting this off.
That was also the rationale and is the rationale for bringing in more migration. Because we're not replacing ourselves.
To keep the system
to pay the tax, get someone to get some tax so they can pay for the cost.
But that creates, that brings in all other multitude of
systems.
Infrastructure.
So Māori boy is going to be kicked out of, house because, he doesn't qualify or anything else. And, it's worse.
It's just a blooming circle. Yeah. So it should have been looked at, established a... What we need is a strategy to deal with it.
Mm. Well, it should be bipartisan.
Yeah, but then again, that never happened either.
No, guys that Sir David Meyer Robinson, he had that sort of vision more than 3 years or 5 years, but most just think about the next election.
Yeah, they don't think about the 20 years, 50 years.
And I don't think they really give a damn about the population despite the rhetoric.
No, they're all right, Jack.
And it doesn't matter what colour livery they wear.
Yeah, it's still the same.
Well, everyone has their normal, and if you're just living in a comfortable suburb...
That's a slippery slope, trying to define normal.
Yeah, but it's their normal. So you're living, you're off school holidays, you're off at the beach house or the lake house or the ski chalet, all your friends are in the same elk.
Yeah, completely detached from the constituents they claim they support.
Yeah. And sometimes. Yeah. I would think there's people like Chloe Swarbrick, I really rank her, and us, some of the others in the Labor Party as well, who do keep in touch with what's going on.
But there's a lot who don't.
Well, there are others, many others just stick to their circle of, and so it's their normal, their friends all are in the same situation.
And the current trend is to follow the party, not
Yeah, the party line.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll read you something. This came out of the, and I think going back to the housing thing, it comes out of the Western Community News from our so-called local MP for Hamilton West.
Right.
Quote, "I was honoured to be present recently when the four new Habitat for Humanity homes in our community were blessed. Four grateful and excited families are now enjoying their new homes, and the gathering acknowledged the outstanding contribution made by so many, excluding the government, and the commitment of the international agencies, which helps thousands of people in New Zealand and overseas. Habitat for Humanity promotes access to safe, healthy and affordable housing, and they are acknowledged for their significant contribution to our community." Yeah. How sycophantic. How sugary.
And I'm not dissing
Habitat for Humanity. No, I'm dissing
But I actually think it's a bigger... The danger is we rely
on charities
rather, I think that should be government... Housing for people should be government responsibility.
Social housing, Good social housing.
Well, everyone should be housed. Full stop.
Yeah, well, just that previous article, you know, those 35 homes, state houses just being scuppered.
So,
an increasing reliance on philanthropy.
And that's the danger. It's a slippery slope because we've talked about it before.
Willis believes that social services should be provided by philanthropy.
I'm not proud of it, but I went to supermarket this week, had a few bills, etc., bought my groceries. I didn't put anything in the food bank. I felt bad, but I didn't do it because...
You didn't do it because you've been mean.
But you had situations as well.
I just thought, I got a few things, and normally I do, but... I might have put something in, did I? But I didn't put as much as I usually, and I can't remember what I did.
Yeah, because you've still got to live, you've still got to meet your own bills.
Which I can, but I'm just saying, what I'm getting at is charity is fickle.
Depending on circumstances,
what you're doing or anything else. Mm. So you might be a good, and some people do it, give regularly for a bank transfer or whatever else. Mm. But I tend to do it just for the food bank or whatever. But I just thought, it is. That's the trouble with relying on philanthropy.
That's the issue. Fickle. Yeah.
Or even worse, they want something in return.
Because a community group could set up. Under their umbrella, they have a little bit of a pot of money, and they can allow that money to go to people in need. But once that pot of money runs out, there's no more help in that area, and that's what you're saying about fickleness.
It's fickle, yeah.
So yeah,
and that's why, let's face it, a lot of the social systems we brought in around the world was because charity was fickle, or they wanted something in return.
We know what you're talking about there. Yeah.
Okay.
What else here, Mick? I noticed something, and that and I see that vile man, Brian Scammerkey.
Self-styled bishop.
And scam artist. No, but look, he's not self-styled.
Yeah, police minister, I never thought I'd actually agree with him, but police minister condemns Destiny Church's vile rhetoric at protest. Apparently they must have had a protest. This is
last Saturday.
Tuesday of this week, so it would be last Saturday.
Yeah.
Police Minister Mark Mitchell says Destiny Church's vile rhetoric and behaviour is not welcome in New Zealand and has condemned both the protest and the use of culturally significant and sacred weapons for hate. It comes as religious groups targeting a flag-burning stunt during Destiny Church's rally on Saturday, call for the government to act now to stop the divide, claiming the unrest is at similar levels seen before the March 15 terror attack. The Federation of Islamic Association of New Zealand, the Combined Sikh Association of New Zealand and the New Zealand Buddhist Council have come together to urge politicians to take action before hate crimes rise rapidly and lives are lost. So I have to kind of agree with his condemnation of Destiny. Behaviour.
They burnt the flags.
Well, it was intimidating.
Yeah.
But they're always wearing sunglasses. They all look like thugs. There's a guy in the back behind him.
Are they members?
He looks like security. Maybe security.
Members. Where would he have his own little sort of bodyguard squad?
Members of ICE. They're the same.
Yeah.
It's just dangerous because
you draw the line? It's a slippery slope.
I'm definitely pro-Palestinian, but I don't. I don't hate the person who's a Jew over there or anything else. I don't like what Israel's doing.
You don't like their actions, not because
it's all. But the moment fascism is when you won't accept anyone else, or you don't tolerate anyone else, or anything else, and that's what I think. What this Tamaki is promoting is what's got to be Christian only, nothing else. Well, actually, no. Why can't there be anything else? As long as
he's allowed to worship what he.
Yeah, and as long as they have good ethos, whatever.
Why can't we just live and let live?
Exactly. You know, what's the difference between a good Christian and a good Muslim? You know?
Yeah, I always find these... making up for bad behaviour in the past, and they're trying to be extra good.
Yeah.
Well, their behaviour just makes him look
rabid.
Well, and it doesn't do any good because he's got, you know, tragically, he's got lots of young Māori men doing the haka and intimidating and everything else. That doesn't do any good for perceptions either.
No, you know, he reinforces white supremacist type views.
Well,
you got the gang patch and stuff. This could quite easily fit within that. Parameter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you promote hate, you start burning flags and everything else, you know, where does it end up?
Well, you're talking about the same person who claimed that COVID was God's punishment.
I think people that got must have dodged a bullet then. Like Tamaki.
Yeah.
He's just a horrible person.
It is freedom. You're allowed to have freedom.
Taking things a bit too. Where do you draw the line?
You're kind of moving into the.
If you're intimidating and that sort of stuff, that's.
You're moving into that Oswald Mosley type bloody realm.
It's unsettling.
And his flag burning kind of fits the burning of the books, doesn't it?
Of course, the Palestinian supporters have a rally every week up in Auckland, and that's what it was aimed at, to come down and to show that, you know, some Christian. They have this tie-up that if you're pro-Palestine, you're pro-Muslim. Well, you're just pro-human being.
Yes.
You know, you're just against oppression, you're against apartheid, you're against, you know, you just want a fair go, you know.
So they're saying, because Nicola mentioned this, I think she heard about it because she was in the
board.
They blocking the intersection of Custom and Queen Streets. Skamaki pulled out 12 flags, including Rainbow Pride and a flag representing mainstream media, and directed his followers to rip it up, boys. I'm going to identify these satanic religions. Any type of immigration without assimilation is invasion.
Yeah.
So you've got religious zealots.
So you've got the flags that were identified as being ripped up were Palestinian, Muslim, Buddhist and Sikh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it tells you a lot, doesn't it?
And Tamaki at the beginning of the article says
Do they have an Israeli flag they're burning up?
No, I think they wave those around.
At the beginning of the article, he talks about he wants to close the divide if he can, by hating people and burning flags and intimidating.
Yeah.
The group mostly dressed in black and waving New Zealand flags congregated at Aotea Street at Aotea Square at midday. But you know the old song by Peter, Paul and Mary called Go Tell It on the Mountain?
No, not a fan, no.
I probably know the tune.
Yeah, you probably don't if you look it up. Yeah. And people who are dressed in black, hypocrites turning back.
I say you're allowed to have your own opinion but don't intimidate others.
Yeah, I think that goes more towards the hate.
That's hate.
Yeah, that's just blatant hate.
Well, it's fascism.
Intolerance.
Yeah, intolerance, fascism. Christian fascism. Yeah.
And I think they're wearing glasses to hide their identity or they've had a hard night on the booze.
No, I think it's just the look they promote.
It's intimidating.
Because you know what gang... What people look like, it's like if you go to it... Well, I know, even you go to a National Party meeting, they'll wear check shirts and little cravats, etc. It's to identify the club, and so
I haven't seen a cravat in years.
What's a cravat?
It's a sort of scarf that gentlemen used to tie.
Instead
of wearing a tie, he'd open collar And it was a scarf that you tied up.
Oh, okay. Maybe I mean the thing in the pocket.
The pointed hanky. The pointed hanky.
Yeah. But so people tend to. It's like the sports club, you know, and we all do it. We all tend to, you know, if you're in a sports team, you'll wear your coat to the after work, after game drinkies. It's sort of a human thing. And so what Tamaki's doing, they all wear the same because it's to identify that they're part of, identify each other.
It's also to intimidate.
Oh, I think too, yeah. Well, it can be, yeah.
But he's right. Mitchell was right to be different. Frank, you know, to give him a credit.
Yeah, fair enough.
What else here, Mick?
Well, there'd be no surprises if... This article was written, when was it? This came out Tuesday this week. Well, this is after the aftermath of US bombing in Iran and things heating up in the Middle East and expecting high prices because the Iranians are talking about closing off the Gulf of Hormuz.
No, they didn't. They were talking about doing that.
And there was speculation that gasoline prices were going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
And the Yemenis, I think, were going to get involved in it too. They were sort of...
And he
says that... this is Alexander Gillespie, says, not to panic. It wasn't World War III. But however, New Zealand's close to home will soon find the impact close to that claim through rising fuel prices. He warned the only way the situation would become cataclysmic was if it went nuclear and drew in other powers. Russia and China are not allied to Iran by any defensive treaty.
No.
It could get messy, but it's not World War III.
Probably right there, yeah.
More like Iran.
They've still showed restraint.
I think they've shown remarkable restraint.
So watch this space. I think your gasoline prices now could start creeping up if things deteriorate.
Potentially it could.
Apparently, we're not as reliant. You know, the world sort of that Strait of Hormuz does 20%, 25% of oil.
So not all of us are dependent on that.
As we used to be. Yeah.
And sort of carrying on that thing was the last. How much time have you got?
I've got one positive.
Can I do the positive? Yeah, the positive.
Okay, it's not strictly political, but it's the New Zealand Garden Bird Survey time, folks.
You know, I'm a twitcher.
I twitch at anything.
Hey, steady on this.
So it starts on the 28th. When's the 28th?
That's Sunday.
Tomorrow.
28th. No, today.
Okay, so it starts today. And basically what it is, it's an annual survey.
Is this where you count how many birds?
And you count how many birds. You sit in your backyard or in a park or wherever you like, and you... basically count what birds you see for one hour. What's the purpose of it? The aim is awareness about feathered creatures, etc., but also to track population and distribution trends. And they've been doing it now, seriously.
For some time now.
2014, they've really been doing it, but they started in about 2007. But it gives them a trend of what's observed, and it's citizen science.
I can tell you what I haven't seen for ages is wood pigeons. We used to have wood pigeons in our garden.
They only tend to come in when there's food
around.
It's
a long time since they've been around.
But someone reported a kaka in Hammond Park yesterday. What's today? Must have been Thursday now.
Right. Yeah, kaka.
So they're around, but they need food sources and everything else. So, people, if you look it up. Just up New Zealand Garden Bird Survey, and if your kids are bored or anything else, put them outside in the cold, and so you stay there for an hour and count. And you can see the rules and how you got to do it. It all can be done online.
Okay. But
they had about 7,000 people do it last year, so it's quite helpful.
Yeah, well, that's us. I hope the survey goes well.
Cheers. I'll be doing it in the rain today.
And you'll find Free Left Turn on Free Left Turn and podcast. That's on the Facebook and www.freefm.org.nz. Have a great weekend. I hope the rain goes away.
See you next month.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.